This is Evolutionary Radio. This is your host, Trevor Caritson. As always, Steve Smee is joining me.
Yeah, we have a really cool show ahead, guys. Really fun topics.
This is podcast 165, Steve.
I know, and we're still going. You haven't pissed me off enough for me to kill you yet, so that's good. That's a good sign.
I was thinking, you know, like, are we going to be in, like, an old folks home? You know, and they're going to be bringing us our pills, then it'll be like, no, it's Monday night. I don't want to take my pills. I need to stay sharp. We're recording a podcast.
Gosh, I don't know. Let's see what happens. I don't know who's going to outlive who.
I'll definitely outlive you, dude.
You think so?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Question, topic number one. Do SARMs need to be cycled, or can they be used year-round? This is a really good question. I think this question comes from the confusion that the SARMs Carterin, SR9009, and Nutribol aren't actually SARMs. They're sold as SARMs, but they're not actually SARMs. So those three SARMs, Carterin, SR9009, and Nutribol, do not affect natural testosterone production or HPTA, so they can theoretically be used year-round. Every other SARM, so that goes for Osterin, LGD, S4, RAD140, S23, all of those are suppressive, so you don't want to be using them year-round. You have to cycle them. Steve, what are your thoughts on this topic?
Well, I wouldn't run Nutribol year-round, and the reason for that is because there are side effects of using Nutribol. One of the ones though in the short term that can really be annoying is the hunger increase. And that's something that for me, I mean, it really gets annoying after, like, right away, not even after a while. But even if you're like a skinny guy and you need something to boost your appetite, I would think though after a couple months on it, your food bill is going to be so high that you're like, damn, this is going crazy. But yeah, in theory, yeah, you could run it year round. But I'd also worry about the other side effects behind Nutribol, like the insulin resistance that could come with it over time. I'd worry about any of the HGH type of side effects that could happen over time. So I would definitely still cycle Nutribol. SR9009 and GW. I've used those quite a bit, and I can say that just like any drug, you really should cycle off of it for, you know, you can run it for 3 months, but you want to come off like for a month or two and then come back on it, because the more you run it, the less effective it affects you, because it's your body kind of adjusts to it. So when you come off of it, like for a month or two, and then come back on, boom, you get the, it's kind of like rebooting everything. So just like anything in life, it's a good idea to, you know, come off of something to give your body a break from it, because your body's getting it constantly every day. It's good to give it a break. So, but I would, the way I would approach it is kind of like, let's say you run like a SARM cycle or a steroid cycle, then you want to run GW, SR9, or Nutribol. You can run those kind of as a bridge in between cycles, and they won't cause any suppression. So that's a really good way to run those. You know, that would be something that you guys could experiment with.
I agree with everything you said. Nutribol being an HGH analog and not actual HGH, I don't think you would run into any insulin resistance type side effects. HGH, if abused, will eventually cause insulin resistance, but you have to use a lot of GH for that to happen. So, I mean, like with Nutribol signaling the pituitary gland to increase HGH production, I don't think you're going to get a significant enough rise in HGH to actually cause side effects like insulin resistance. that's just my personal opinion. Like, I guess it'd be very individual and it would depend on your muscle insulin sensitivity to begin with. But I agree with what you said. I don't think really it's a way, I don't really think because of side effects you'd want to cycle them. I just think being on anything indefinitely isn't a good idea. I think you should cycle everything. Even food, I recommend cycling, because if you eat the same foods every single day, you can develop a food allergy to it. So even if there's like a favorite protein powder you like, I recommend cycling even like protein supplements. I recommend cycling everything. So yeah, I agree with everything you said. Do you have anything else to add into this before we move into our next topic?
No, you know, that's really good news if that's the case with insulin sensitivity. I know some guys complain about bloat, so I wonder if the bloat issue will be less of a factor too, running Nutriball versus actual HGH. So that's something to experiment with for sure. And definitely
Big reason why people get so many side effects on HGH, Steve, is that the majority of HGH on the black market is 192 AA strain and not 191 AA strain. It's actually rat HGH because it's cheaper to manufacture than human strain. So the reason why people are getting such bad side effects from using generic HGH is because they're actually using rat HGH, which is very, very similar to human HGH, but it's not identical. That's why. Anyways.
Sounds good. Rats. Let's get some rat HGH.
Get some rat HGH. Our second topic is acne and acne from steroid usage. So this is a really good topic. Acne can be caused by a lot of things. Generally, though, when it comes to, you know, steroids and things like that, it's caused by a change in hormones, hormone fluctuations. It's not just steroids that can cause acne. You know, things like birth control can cause acne. You know, when you're using like your PCT and you're using fertility drugs like Clomid and Novadex, those can cause acne. Anything that plays with your body's hormones can cause acne. HCG, which both me and Steve are not fans of, is horrible for causing acne. So it's not like which steroids can cause acne, which steroids don't cause acne. Any steroid, anything that plays with your body's hormones can cause acne. Steve, I'll let you talk about this topic a little bit, and I'll talk a little bit about skincare because it kind of goes one in one. Most people who are suffering from acne on the steroid cycle aren't taking proper care of their skin.
One thing I've noticed with acne over the years on forums is most of the guys that suffer from it, they're either kind of new to steroids or they're young. Usually both. Young guys, you know, in their 20s or late teens, which you shouldn't be using steroids for sure, but still they do it anyway. And your hormones are already fluctuating. You add steroids to the mix, coming on steroids and coming off, you can be prone to acne. Because the hormonal fluctuation can cause the acne to flare up. So as you get older, that's something you kind of grow out of. I know, like, when I was a teenager, I used to have, you know, pimples and stuff like that. That would be a big deal. I'd wake up in the morning, the first thing I do is look at my face to see, you know, where am I getting a pimple? Because my hormones were changing so crazy. Your hormones are going nuts at that age. So, yeah, you're going to have, you know, issues like that. So one thing I tell guys is, you know, if it's a big problem, you simply just need to come off of steroids and just wait a few years. Wait till you get older. Wait till your hormones balance out, and then you'll notice less issues. I know Trevor can talk more about this, but, you know, drying your skin is a big one, tanning, stuff like that. You know, but a lot of it can be based on genetics. A lot of it can be based even on diet. Like, you know, a diet that causes a lot of oily skin can obviously flare up acne. So I know, Trevor, you know a lot about this stuff.
Well, testosterone increases skin oil gland production. That's why so many guys, when they're going through puberty, start to get acne. Now, your body increasing skin oil gland production, that doesn't necessarily cause acne. What happens is that oil gets in your pores. If you don't clean those pores get clogged and then zits form, hence acne. So what you need to be doing when you're on a steroid cycle is you need to be making proper skincare hygiene a priority. That means every morning when you wake up, wash your face. After the gym, wash your face. Ideally, when I say wash your face, I mean have a full shower, but at the very least, just wash your face. After the gym, wash your face. Before bed, wash your face. When I have never gotten a single zit when on a steroid cycle. And that was because first thing when I woke up, I had a shower. After every workout, I had a shower. Before bed, I had a shower. And that was everything. You know, I wouldn't always wash my hair because if you washed your hair 3 times a day, your hair would get super, super dry. But I would make sure to wash my face really good. I'd body wash my entire body. It only takes like 4 or 5 minutes. And then you're constantly cleaning out those skin pores and no zits will form. Often, like so many times, guys are emailing me. They're like, oh, I got terrible acne. Do you think I should get on Accutane? And then I ask them, how often are you showering? They're not even showering every day. This is the simplest, easiest thing you can do. If you are showering multiple times per day and you still get acne, go to your doctor and ask for a topical acne cream. It'll be stronger than anything that you can buy over the counter. And because it's topical, it won't affect your liver. Accutane should be used as a very, very last resort. It's extremely effective, but it is extremely liver toxic and is very, very hard on the body. So if you're still getting acne, go to your doctor, ask him to write you a prescription for an acne cream. It'll work just as good as Accutane. You really, really do not want to be using Accutane unless it's 100% necessary. Steve, I'll let you finish up this topic and then introduce our next topic.
Yeah, I know a lot of people who have used Accutane, and a very small percentage have said that the side effects were okay. But most of them have said, oh my God, the side effects were really, really bad. So it's one of those things where if it's ruining your life to the point where you can't even leave your house or it's really fucking up your social life, that would be something to consider. But otherwise, you know, you need to do what we suggested and what Trevor suggested to try to fix the issue.
The only time I would say, you know, get the Accutane prescription would be if that the acne's so bad it might cause scarring, which obviously you wouldn't want to have the rest of your life. But for any other situation, like if you're just dealing with a couple of pimples, it's not worth Accutane. It's not worth the side effects.
What's our next topic?
It's the listener question on muscles looking soft.
Yeah, so we had a forum guy. He wanted to know. He was 15% body fat. He was complaining about soft muscles. Like, why are my muscles soft? And this is a really, really good question, actually, because there are, you know, some legitimate reasons for this. And we see this all the time in the gym. I saw a guy today. He was wearing one of those tight shirts. And, you know, his belly, he actually had like a little bit of a belly on him. So when you wear a tight shirt, you know, your belly is going to kind of protrude. So I thought that was kind of funny. Obviously, you know, it's a perfect example of overeating. When you overeat, you're going to have a belly as a man. So it's like, dude, you know, you're in the gym every day busting your ass, but you leave the gym and you're eating too much. So in this guy's case on the forum, 15% body fat is not bad. The guy at the gym was probably like 20 or 22% body fat. 15% is pretty damn good for a male. I mean, I don't know how old this guy was, but I mean, if you, you know, anyone in their 30s and 40s at 15%, I'd say that they're doing fantastic. You know, for this, today's standards. But I mean, as a gym rat, 15% is just not great. You know, it's not a great situation. You're not going to be vascular. You're not going to have those spider veins with your calves and your quads. You're not going to have those bicep veins that we all love in our forearms and all that good stuff. So you really need to drop that body fat down. Your muscles are going to look soft because your body fat is higher in the mid to upper teens. Once you get your body fat under 10%, then you can really start taking advantage of those cuts, the striations, the vascularity and all that good stuff. And you can start looking much more ripped, you know, and I think you'll appreciate that better. So you really need to dial in that diet better if you don't like your soft muscles.
100%. I haven't posted photos on the forums for a while, but when I was posting some photos leading up into the bodybuilding show where I won my pro card, and then with my daily video log series, I got at least a couple emails or private messages per day, you know, people asking, you know, like, how did you get so vascular? You know, what do you take for vascularity? What supplements do you take for vascularity? I don't take anything. Like, it's just having low body fat. You know, if you have a low body fat, there'll be very little fat covering your muscles, and your muscles will look hard and defined and striated. If you have more body fat, there'll be more body fat covering your muscles, which blurs and hides definition. It's really that simple. Like, it's not as complicated as people make it out to seem. Even then, even if you're taking a vascularity supplement, and there are a couple on the market that are really good, or, you know, you're eating larger amounts of beets and getting lots of nitrates, those will increase blood flow. So they'll increase the pump you get. But if you have a high body fat percentage, your muscles are still going to look soft because the body fat is covering the muscles. So those pump vascularity supplements, they do work, but they'll just give you a better pump. So unless you're low body fat, you're not going to get that hard vascular look to your muscles. Steve, do you have anything else to add to this topic before I introduce topic number four?
Yeah, since this guy has had a history of using steroids, also we have to get into the water retention aspect too. If you're holding a lot of water because you use steroids or you're using steroids, and that can cause more of a fluffy look too. So a good idea would be to run blood work, see if your estrogen levels are too high. You could have high estrogen, and you could have a lot of excess water retention. So you definitely want to look at that too. That could be another reason you're soft.
Good point, Steve. Or it could also be from consuming too much sodium or not drinking enough. That's another big one, is that a lot of people retain water because they don't drink enough water. Topic number four is steroids and cognitive function. Do steroids affect cognitive function? Steve, let's let you go first because you're the expert on steroids, and then I'll give my personal opinions.
Okay, so first off, let me ask you, Trevor, you're the medical expert. What does cognitive function mean to most people who would ask that question? Because it was actually a forum question. What define cognitive function?
It means,
that's a big word.
It means focus, memory, attention span, basically how well your brain works.
Yeah, so with that aspect, it's funny though, because the first time I used steroids, all I wanted to do, and this is the way I answered the guy on the forum, all I wanted to do was jump out of bed, eat, work out, have sex. I was dating two girls at one time. I mean, I have sex with one girl one day, then another girl the next day, and the other girl, and twice a day, blah, blah, blah. I'd work out, I'd eat, I'd wake up, eat, go work out, come home, eat again, just constantly. And it's like, I didn't even like, wasn't, my brain wasn't even fixated on work at that time. So I attribute that to like the androgen effect of not being used to those androgens. And that kind of affected me with that issue. So I would say that, yes, it did affect me mentally from that perspective. But the more I used steroids, the more my body adjusted and the more I got used to those androgens. So I'd say now if I was to run a cycle, I wouldn't be as affected as it. So I wonder if you can kind of look at it as an indirect way where steroids do affect you in an indirect way. In your situation, you use steroids at a really, really young age. So it's kind of maybe hard for you to look back and know, because we don't know what you would have went through as a teenager when you used them. I used them when I was an adult, you know, so I knew how I was and I knew what steroids did to me, but maybe you were young. So I don't know if your first cycle, you kind of had that big effect, you know, where it kind of influenced your life the same way.
Part of the problem with using steroids so young is that when you're, you know, 18, 19, 20, everyone's insecure. You know, you're trying to figure out who you are. You're trying to figure out what you want to do with your life. Like, it's a very stressful time for a man, and females too, for that matter. And when you take steroids and you get that androgenic feeling, that feeling of confidence and everything like that, it really changes your personality. And when you come off the cycle and you go back to normal, it makes you feel even more insecure than before you started, because you just went from that, you know, Superman feeling to now you're feeling back to normal, but then also you miss that feeling and that look, and that it's really hard. If you look at the literature, the problem with literature and human studies done on steroid usage is that it's all done on older men using TRT dosages, or, you know, people with muscle wasting diseases like HIV and cancer. They don't study, you know, bodybuilders using cycles or healthy males running steroids. But the literature done on older adults who are using, you know, low dosage of testosterone for testosterone replacement therapy, the steroids did increase memory and cognitive function. So based on the literature, yes, steroids do increase memory, attention span, things like that. But again, that's someone with low testosterone using testosterone replacement therapy. So that's kind of a completely different situation.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, the normal meathead who runs like 1 or 2 grams of gear a week, I don't see them getting smarter from it, you know? But I want to take a different perspective on this too before we move on. What if you were to run steroids and you were to have like a lot of aromatization, a lot of water retention, your blood pressure goes up, which affects your sleep, because when you have a lot of water retention and your blood pressure is higher, you're going to sleep worse. I mean, that's just, that goes in hand to hand. Or Tren, if you run Tren, you get the Trensomnia, you know, you don't sleep as good on Tren, you can't sleep at night. What is one of the things that affects us with our mental and focus is lack of sleep. Like, if I sleep shitty, I'm like a zombie the next day. Like, I can't think for shit. You know, I'm like moping around. So in that's another indirect way where steroids can affect you mentally, is if they do fuck up your sleep. So, you know, there's so many things that can affect your sleep. If you were to chug 3 cups of coffee before bed, you're not going to sleep well either. So I can make the argument that coffee affects you mentally too, based on that. So there's a lot of factors. It boils down to, you know, if you abuse steroids, there's a good chance that it could indirectly affect it, or if it's your first cycle or something. But if you run steroids correctly, conservatively, I don't see it being a problem. I don't see it affecting your life, and it shouldn't affect your life, because you should be mature enough to not let it affect your life. You shouldn't be immature where you take them and you become a moron, you become a different person. That's not what steroid use is all about. It's an icing on the cake is why we use steroids. We don't use steroids to change our personalities and change, you know, our looks and stuff like that.
Who's that guy on the forums who's doing a log right now, and he's just using some LGD? He's got the tattoos. He looks really good. Do you remember his username?
No, I have to.
You know who I'm talking about, though, yes. Right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay, so he looks really, really good. He's just running some LGD, and everyone's commenting, like, what else do you take? He's like, no, nothing. I'm just running some LGD. That's a perfect example, right? Like, diet and training is priority number one. And then steroids or other performance-enhancing drugs, that's just the icing on the cake, right? Like, that guy, look, he has a great physique. He's not running anything crazy. I have a lot of natural clients who look better than 95% of the guys on the boards just because they're literally 100% on with their diet and training. Steroids basically make what you're doing already right work even better. They enhance results. They don't cause results. That's the number one problem I see people make, is they think just injecting a needle in your butt is going to give you results. No, it's not. It's going to speed up the process of you getting results, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I see the guy who he is. His name is Coden Lift. So check out his log. He's got 80 replies to it. It's a really good log. But yeah, I mean, I really think the secret to steroid use is what Mark Lobliner said. The secret to looking good is years, putting in years and building 1 to 2 pounds of lean muscle a year consistently. That's the secret to it. You got to put in the years of it. You can't just hop on steroids and start training and expect a year later you're going to look fantastic. You know, you're not going to hit your peak. The longer you do it, the better you're going to be at it. So you got to really, it's a long-term thing. That's the problem.
And it's like that famous saying, Steve, like in order to become truly an expert at any one topic, you need to spend 10,000 hours on it.
Yeah. I mean, that's, it's the same thing with everything, man. I can use fishing as an example. I go fishing. You have the same people there go every day. I see them every time and they don't catch anything. Why? Because they don't, it's trial and error. They're not learning from their mistakes. They're not trying to improve. They're stubborn. They don't want to learn. So you can go to the gym every day. I see the same people in the gym every day and they spin their wheels because they don't want to do it right. They don't want to change things. It's not just about doing it for 10,000 hours. It's also about trial and error and learning from it and having that gift where you can actually learn from your mistakes and improve. It's like that with everything.
It's not practice makes perfect. It's perfect practice makes perfect. So our next topic is steroids and hair loss. When it really comes down to it, any steroid is going to speed up the rate of hair loss. How fast it speeds it up depends on what steroids you're using and your genetics. The two worst steroids for hair loss are Trenbolone and Winstrol. So if you are looking, if you're worried about losing hair, you do not want to be using those two steroids. Those are the two worst steroids for hair loss. The safest steroids for hair loss, Deca and Anavar. And EQ. EQ is pretty safe too. It's the androgenic properties of steroids that are the worst for hair loss. So, you know, Anavar, Deca, EQ, those are all pretty mild. T-ball would be another good example. When it comes to hair loss prevention, the two easiest things you can do that are going to cause no side effects are a good anti-hair loss shampoo. The sponsor of the podcast, NeedToBuildMuscle.com, makes a really good shampoo called N2 Shampoo. And Rogaine, which is also minoxidil. It's the same thing. Rogaine is the brand name. Minoxidil is the drug. Daily use of that spray. Since both of those are topical, they will not cause any side effects. Now, DHT-altering drugs like finasteride, they do work, but they come with a lot of side effects. I'll let you talk about the side effects, Steve, because I know you're an expert on this. So what I personally would recommend is if you're worried about keeping your hair, don't use Trenbolone and Winstrol. Stick with, you know, primarily safe, not, I guess safe isn't the word, but safer drugs like Anavar, Deca, EQ, T-ball. Use a good anti-hair loss shampoo and use Rogaine. That's what I would do. If you're really, really cautious, you could use finasteride, but I personally don't think the side effects are worth it. Steve, I'll let you go ahead.
Yeah, Winstrol and Trend together, my hair was falling out like you wouldn't believe. I was just in shock. You ever notice, though, on YouTube, all these gurus that are like the talking heads that are like giving like advice and shit on supplements and steroids, they all claim to be just on TRT, you know, because they want to sell their shitty ass supplements. So, of course, they're just going to say that they're on TRT because they don't want people to know that they're running a shitload of steroids. But they all have one thing in common, and that is that they're bald. And the reason they're bald is years of steroid abuse. So yes, the longer you use steroids and the more you use steroids, the greater chance you have of losing your hair. And you will. You will eventually lose your hair by doing that. So for me, I don't use steroids very much now compared to what I used to. But when I did at my peak, my hair was falling out slowly, but I backed off of steroids a lot. The more you use steroids, they're either gonna convert to DHT in the body, and or they're gonna be DHT derivatives. So they're gonna be direct. So what's gonna happen is DHT, the dihydrotestosterone, basically is going to fry your head hair follicles. And that's why you lose hair the more you use steroids, and the more dosage you use steroids, the longer you use steroids, the more DHT is going to be in your body, and the more head hair follicles are going to fry. So it's going to be inevitable. So the best thing to do is go easy on your steroid use. Run the N2 shampoo. That stuff is great. I mean, that stuff really, really helps. I use it every day. And then the whole finasteride thing, finasteride will block the conversion of to DHT in the body. But if you're using a DHT derivative, it will not help you with that. So the thing with finasteride is the side effects of blocking your DHT. Yes, it will help with your hair, but it's also going to give you side effects. Some of these side effects can be long-term, and it has a lot to do with DHT being our sex hormone. So I personally would never use something that blocks DHT, because it's very, very important to not mess around when it comes to your DHT. Your DHT is not your enemy. Transsexuals, they actually use finasteride to block DHT. They use that and they use estrogen, and that gives them the female-like features, which, you know, gets them looking like a female. So we definitely don't want to do that. If you're a male who wants muscles and you want strength and you want to look like a man, you definitely don't want to be messing with anything that blocks DHT, in my opinion. I totally do not recommend to use it. It's not worth it. I'd rather be bald for life than have my dick chopped off. But that's me. If hair is more important than for you, that's fine. But I'm telling you, you're going to have a girlfriend or your wife, and she's not going to be a happy camper.
We had one listener question about hair transplants. If you had a hair transplant, yes, the hair that was on a hair transplant, that can fall out as well. What they basically do is it's similar to skin grafting. The hair transplant is real hair. So if you had a hair transplant done, it's not like a wig. You're not basically immune to hair loss then. You can still lose the hair from the hair loss from the hair transplant. Our last topic is a relationship topic, and it's having friends, family members, things like that set you up. So Steve, I have a good friend of mine who wants to set me up with one of her friends. I personally don't think it's a good idea, because, like, let's say we hit it off and then we break up, and then it's kind of like that friend is then in an awkward situation because she almost has to, like, pick between friends. What are your thoughts on, you know, people playing matchmaker, that sort of stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I always see that. And my question is, like, they're always like, yeah, this person would be great for you, blah, blah, blah. They want to be matchmaker. They think they know what they're talking about. And it's like most of the time, the match is really awful. And they'll match you up, and it'll be far from a match. So, you know, it's a perfect example of how, you know, people really don't know it's hard to be a matchmaker for other people. It's hard to know. Yeah, you might think, yeah, this person will have great chemistry with that person. But to me, it's like you're incapable of putting yourself in their shoes and knowing that it would be a match. So that type of thing is something I'm not a fan of at all. I know, like, a lot of families and stuff, they do, like, these arranged marriages types. They'll set a person up. I know I had my cousin. He lived in Detroit, and the girl lived, like, in California. And this woman that knew both of them, she set them up. So they started to talk online, and he eventually flew out to California and got to know her, and he eventually got married. But, you know, that type of situation, it worked out only because they got to know each other first. You know, they kind of got to know each other on the internet and talked and Skype and all that stuff. They found each other attractive, and then they went from there. So I'm not a fan of doing the whole blind date thing. Yeah, my friend set me up, you know, blah, blah, blah. I would actually kind of, in that situation, like, get to know the person first, at least exchange pictures and make sure you know a little bit about the person beforehand, because you know, the physical attraction on both ends is very, very important. So don't like have a friend set you up on a blind date. That's a recipe for disaster 95% of the time, in my experience.
What do you think about dating like a best friend's sister or something like that?
If it's like your best friend's a male and dating his
sister. Yeah. So let's say I dated your sister. What would your thoughts be on that?
That would be pretty absurd in my view. You know, that would be definitely weird because it's like they're, to me, I don't know. That's something I want to be comfortable with. Either way, I want to be comfortable with you dating my sister and I want to be comfortable with dating your sister. Like, you see what I'm saying? So I don't know. I want to be comfortable with that at all. But hey, I mean, like I said, I mean, if you think it's a match, then go for it. But I want to personally, I don't like to involve my personal life with family life, if that makes sense. Because in That's, the end, yeah. You know.
Okay, so like I had a close friend of mine and they wanted to introduce me to their sister. And I mean, like, I was extremely flattered because I mean, like, the fact they want to introduce me to their older sister, like, that's like a real friend, you know, like, hey, I think my sister would be good for you. I'm cool with you dating my sister, but I just don't think it's a good idea because if it doesn't work out, that friendship's never going to be the same.
You need to look up Jason Taylor and Zach Thomas. I know you don't know who those are, but they're actually NFL players. They were our teammates. And Zach Thomas introduced Jason Taylor, who's his best friend, to his sister. And they got married and they ended up getting divorced. It was a really, really nasty divorce. Jason Taylor ended up going to the Hall of Fame and Zach Thomas wasn't even invited to the festivities or nothing. So there's very, very bad blood there. And basically, yeah, they ended up being bad for all parties. And I can't imagine what the kids must be going through because both families, you know, hate each other's guts and they don't talk anymore. They used to be best friends. And they're obviously, the guy didn't even invite them to the Hall of Fame enshrinement thing. So, I mean, look up that story. And that's a perfect example of why it's not a good idea. Like you said.
So to wrap up this topic, if someone wants to play matchmaker, say, you know, I really appreciate that. That's flattering. Instead of set me up on a blind date, maybe let's all meet up at a bar and play some pool or something like that. Like do something social in a group setting so that you can get to know that person. It's not awkward. You know, it's like, it's not, you know, you're just meeting someone on a blind date. And then, you know, if you guys feel like there might be something there, then go on a date. Is that kind of what you'd suggest, Steve?
I personally would just avoid the entire thing altogether. Like I would not even entertain it, but if you think that you'd be interested, like I said, see if it's good on her end too. If she's interested too, kind of exchange social media, exchange emails and start talking through that or texting and then go from there. Don't like just go on a blind date because that would be incredibly awkward, dude. I mean, you know, it's just, I don't see that being a good idea, you know?
Hey, and if your friend's sister's a 10, moral of the story, you can always make new friends. It's been another great episode. Steve, do you have any last closing remarks?
No, I don't. I hope everyone.
You have a sister, Steve?
No, uh-uh.
I'm gonna do some research. I'm gonna creep the crap out of your Facebook.
Yeah, actually, I don't have social media, but
I'll do some digging. If you got a sister, I'll find her. That's my promise.
They had a thing on Facebook that just came out yesterday. I don't know if you heard about it, but. Apparently there's been like a breach where like all this personal information got leaked and stuff. So that's one of the reasons I don't have Facebook, but Facebook is really good for like exes to kind of like stalk you. So that's the main reason I don't mess with.
Well, the problem with things like Facebook and Instagram is anyone can just go on there and download your photos, right? actually had something happen to me years ago where someone took all my photos off of Facebook. And then, have you ever heard of Plenty of Fish?
Yeah, yeah. That's Catfish. That's what happens on that show, Catfish, that people steal photos of models and then they make, like, they'll go on a dating site or whatever and they'll post those photos and pretend to be that person.
That actually happened to me because a friend texted me. They're like, I never thought you would have a Plenty of Fish account. I'm like, I thought it was a joke. I was like, oh, like what are you talking about? Yeah. They're like, look. And there was like a fake account with my photos. And you could tell that the photos were definitely fake because it was like my last five profile pictures. So like they just like went on my Facebook and like downloaded my photo. Yeah. The good thing was I submitted a claim or a ticket or whatever to Plenty of Fish. And like within like 2 hours, the account was deleted.
Yeah, yeah. You should look into that show on MTV called Catfish. And that's all it is people doing that. And then they'll end up, they'll track the person down who did it and they'll confront them. So that'd be something. You should call MTV and try to get on that show. That'd be good to tell them someone's using your pictures. That'd be funny. But yeah, you can actually Google search your pictures and see how many people are actually doing that. I bet you've got plenty of accounts that are using your pictures. If that happened once, the same person probably set up your pictures on other sites too.
This was like 5 years ago, Steve.
Yeah.
You never know, maybe. Anyways, yeah. I think I got Dr. Robin booked next week. She's going to come on and talk about the whole 30 diet. Similar to the paleo diet, but she's going to talk a little bit about what she believes is the optimal diet for athletes and human beings. So I'm really excited to get her on the show. She's anti-dairy, so you're going to like her, Steve. I don't have that confirmed yet, but she seems really interested. So I'm just working on solidifying a date and time with her. For your host, Trevor Caritzen, for my co-host, Steve Smee, this is another episode of Evolutionary Radio. Live your life, look good doing it. Thanks for listening. Thank you. Mm-hmm.